Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
We'll start today with a look back to 1999. That's when the very first episode of Lake Effect aired on WUWM. Back then, the show was called At 10, and the first guest we ever had was then-Mayor John Norquist. As part of WUWM's 60th birthday celebration, we're listening back to archival interviews, including this one with Mayor Norquist. We asked current Mayor Cavalier Johnson to join us and reflect on some of the issues the city was facing in 1999 and where some of those things stand today. This interview has been edited for time, and the full, unedited conversation can be found at WUWM.com. Here's Lake Effect Sam Woods and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson.
Mayor Johnson, I'd like to take us back to 1999. TLC's No Scrubs was topping charts, Y2K was a phrase people mentioned, and Lake Effect recorded its first interview ever with then-Mayor John Norquist. And in a moment, we'll play clips of issues that were on Norquist's mind in 1999 and compare them to what's on your mind in 2025. But first, I want to know what 1999 was like for you. And I did a little bit of research. I can see your face. Yeah. Did a little bit of research, and you turned 13 that year. And I can say, for me, when I was 13, I was way too preoccupied with my very certain future as a Major League Baseball player. And coincidentally, that was the year I stopped growing. Probably should have given up on that dream about then. But in a minute or less, I don't want to take up too much time on this, but in a minute or less, what was on your mind in 1999?
1999. It was right before the start of the millennium. So I thought about, you know, is everything true? You know, is, you know, the world going to end in 2000? Do we need to have, you know, canned goods and water stored away? You know, are the missiles, you know, going to go off? Can the computers read 00? And then even in my, you know, 13-year-old brain, I thought, nah, this is probably fine.
And look at us now. All right.
Right.
Well, back to business. I mentioned Norquist's 1999 interview. Here's Norquist speaking generally about the housing market.
In the last year, we saw hundreds of new units of housing going up in the city and the downtown, and also City Homes 2, which is in the heart of the inner city. Market rate housing, houses being snapped up very quickly, people wanting to live in a new house in the inner city.
So you've talked about your desire for Milwaukee to reach a population of 1 million people, almost doubling our current population. But today in 2025, does Milwaukee have the housing stock for that?
I think we need more housing. I've been very, very clear about my desire to have more of it all. I want for there to be more affordable housing. I want for there to be workforce housing. Of course, you know, luxury apartments continue to rise in the city. I think that's a good thing, too. But we need more. We need more. And we've also got to work to make sure that we focus housing density in commercial corridors that can support them so that we have the vibrancy and the people to support local businesses on the ground, because that means jobs for the people who live on either side of those commercial corridors to be able to go to work. And when you have that sort of density and you have folks supporting those jobs, that means that there are opportunities, more job opportunities for the people who live in the city of Milwaukee, and people spend their dollars locally. So then we have dollars continuing to circulate here in our community as opposed to the bleed out where it goes to other communities nearby or far away. I want those resources to happen here or to be spent here, but that is dependent on us being able to develop the housing that we need. So, yeah, we need to have more housing in the city of Milwaukee.
How do you get that done?
I think there's a number of ways to do it. I mean, we've talked about over the course of the last year or so our desires to update zoning in Milwaukee. Interestingly enough, we're talking about John Norquist now. The city of Milwaukee's zoning code hasn't really been updated to a substantial degree since John Norquist was mayor. And you know how long we keep mayors here in Milwaukee, so it was a little bit ago. So I'm interested in working to update that. So that we can have more housing types, so that we can build more housing. And if you look at what's happened in other communities that have had, you know, more progressive housing policies, more progressive zoning policies than we've had in the city of Milwaukee over the last number of years, they've been actually able to keep rent costs low. So in Milwaukee, rents are rising. In other cities across the country, rents are rising because of the lack of the housing. But in other places, Minneapolis is one of the places I'd like to point to, where they've changed their zoning policies, they've been able to actually make housing more affordable for the people who actually live there. And that's exactly what I want to do, because it's good for the people who live here, and it'd be good for the people who will call Milwaukee home in the future. So zoning is certainly one. We've got to look at other opportunities to use the tools that we have, expanding on those tools to make more investments in affordable housing as well. And then there's the issue of that missing sort of middle housing, not for people who are the highest earners who can go into luxury housing, not just for the individuals on the lower end who need affordable housing, but, you know, folks who are in the middle. So this workforce housing issue has been important, not just for us, but for folks around the country. So we're trying to elevate that to state government to allow us to be able to have additional tools for us to be able to use here at the local level so we can have more housing availability of all types here in the city.
I'm glad you mentioned affordable housing, because that was my next question, is that, you know, we've seen in cities where there's a large influx of population over the last decade. I'm thinking like San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, D.C., you know, the term gentrification comes up of just like, hey, the people who are living here 30 years ago can no longer live here now because they've been priced out. And it sounds like your plan to manage that is kind of like a supply and demand thing. Like the more housing we build now, the more units there are available, the cheaper housing will be. Is that the gist?
Yeah. I mean, the more you have of anything, right, the less valuable it becomes. Not that these things are not valuable, but you know what I mean. Like if you've got, you know, for those of us listening, we got two bottles of water in here. You were able to share one with me because you had two, right? If you had the one, I assume that'd be your bottle of water.
Well, we could get a cup or something. Yeah, we could work something out. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So we want to work to make sure that we're growing the number of housing units that we have available in the city of Milwaukee, because when you do that and there's more supply, it makes it more affordable for people who presently live here, and it makes it more affordable for people who will call Milwaukee home in the future. So those are the sorts of ways that we're thinking about housing, trying to get new tools in order to expand the number of housing units that are available in the city, again, of all types, because we do have a challenge in all types of housing areas, especially as it relates to affordable housing, and especially as it relates as well to workforce housing. I was meeting, as I tend to, with some business executives, and one told me a story that I thought was really striking, that you know, they've got, you know, over 1,000 jobs here in the city. Their employees, they love the city of Milwaukee. They love being here. They love the vibrancy of being in the city. They want to be here where they're working. They want to live here too. But unfortunately, because the rents are expensive, it's just as competitive today to get an apartment in Milwaukee as it is in New York City. Unfortunately, you know, their employees are leaving out of the city for their living quarters. Well, I want them to work here, but I also want them to live here, because that means they're spending more money here, which means they're creating more jobs here, right? So we have to tackle that whole ecosystem around housing. Yeah.
So back to 1999, here's Norquist speaking about his approach to crafting a city budget.
I believe in no crisis budgeting, you know, not creating this thing like you're about to hit the wall in order to get what you want. Instead, what you really need to do if you're an effective mayor is to take the stress out of budgeting and try to create stability and financial security in the community, not to try to create crisis.
So as recently as 2023, Milwaukee's budget was in a state of crisis, and you were warning about having to make drastic cuts to city services if changes were not made. What has happened in the year since?
Well, a number of things. So Mayor Norquist touched on this. I know that even before Mayor Norquist, there was these same sort of challenges that ultimately it was my responsibility as mayor. I just happened to come in at the right time or wrong time, depending on how you look at it, where we had to address this issue. So you wouldn't have, you know, this issue around crisis budgeting and creating stability and financial security. So we work to be able to put the city in a position where we're able to increase state shared revenue for the first time, literally in decades, and bringing more resources to the city that way. And then being able to access a tool that virtually every other major city in America has at their disposal in terms of a sales tax, and putting the city of Milwaukee on a more stable budgeting trajectory. That's what we were able to accomplish. And I mean, I'm a person who looks at the future, and I want to focus on that. But this lesson from the past with Mayor Norquist, I think, is timely for the situation that we find ourselves in today, because I have the same sort of idea, the same sort of budget mentality. I want stability. I want security. And that relates not just to budgeting, but that relates to, you know, what happens out in the neighborhoods, too. I want our neighborhoods as well to be safe, to be secure, and to be prosperous, too. But the stability and the safety is really, really important, whether it's the stuff that we do out there in the city or the stuff that we do in City Hall with our long budgeting process that we undertake for several months throughout the year.
Yeah. You mentioned state shared revenue increase, and that came from a bill called Act 12, mm-hmm. Which was a budget bill passed by the state legislature that gave cities across Wisconsin an increase in state aid. However, this bill also signaled out Milwaukee for non-fiscal provisions that included limiting the scope of civilian oversight of the police department. So looking to 2025 and beyond, and understanding both the very real fiscal and political impact of Act 12, would you still say this is a good deal for Milwaukee?
Well, the alternative was losing several hundred police officers, basically cutting the department in half. The alternative was, you know, losing a significant portion of the fire department. The alternative was basically shuttering the library system in the city of Milwaukee. The alternative was losing hundreds of other city employees who deliver vital services to our constituents each and every single day. And when I say our constituents, I mean Milwaukee is the center of the state in many regards, right? We're the population center. We're the commerce center. We're the economic engine of the state of Wisconsin. We're the diversity center of the state of Wisconsin. You know, more people come and visit here than any other singular place in the state of Wisconsin. Of course, we got people who come into the city who are commuters each and every single day for work or play or dining or you name it. So the decisions that we made with Act 12, I think, were critical in working to make sure that we didn't lose the ability to deliver services to all those constituencies. And I guess, as I mentioned in the first clip, you know, whether I came in at the right time or whether I came in at the wrong time, you can't choose a time, much like I can't choose the state government that I walk into right when you become mayor. You just have to deal with the political reality that's on the ground. I didn't want the city of Milwaukee to fall off of a fiscal cliff. I didn't want the city of Milwaukee to become or have a situation that was similar to what we saw in Detroit some years back. And that meant we had to work with the Republican-controlled legislature, but also our Democratic governor, to make sure that we were able to secure stability and service delivery for our constituents. So, yes, I do think it was the best thing to do. And in those talks, I mean, I voiced my opposition to, you know, what the desires of Republicans were that singled out Milwaukee that you just alluded to. I mean, I did, but you know, it's you know, a situation where, hey, I've got to work with, you know, Republicans who are here in the legislature and a Democrat who's the governor in order to get to a position where the bottom doesn't fall out for my constituents here at home.
So you're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Sam Wood, speaking with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. So you mentioned that the alternative to taking this deal was cutting police, fire, library, core mm-hmm. city services. Would it be fair to say that it was a deal that you were forced to take?
No. I mean, because we could have done nothing. We could have done nothing, and those things just would have happened. Right. We would have lost the police. We would have lost the fire. We would have lost the libraries. We would have laid off, you know, the employees who are responsible for filling potholes and collecting garbage and recycling, you know, and the like. So there was a choice. We could have done nothing, and our constituents, I think, would have been poorer as a result.
So back in time once more, here's Mayor Norquist discussing the newly built downtown convention center, now called the Baird Center.
A number of things happening in terms of public works. The new convention center opened up, and it's operating at a level better than I expected. I mean, frankly, when you make an investment like that, and a lot of other cities are doing the same thing, you worry that, you know, when there's going to be too much convention space. But apparently the market for that's going to happen with computers. It'll end up being very friendly to cities.
So back to the future. I think, thank you, I appreciate that. So back to the future. I think Norquist's cautious optimism about the downtown convention center is interesting, given that this summer's Republican National Convention, I think, likely would not have been in Milwaukee if not for this convention center. Is that fair to say?
I think it certainly would have not been in Milwaukee if it were not for the expanded Baird Center. Yeah.
So I want to talk about the RNC and big events in the future. So one of the selling points for the RNC was that it would make Milwaukee a destination for big events. Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence that these kinds of big events will be hosted here in 2025 or beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to check with our partners over at Visit Milwaukee, after Milwaukee, the city was announced as the host for the Republican National Convention in 2024. Inquiries into Milwaukee as a host city for conventions started to spike. They started to go up tremendously. I know that just as an example, I forget the name of it right now. It escapes me, but the Association of Associations, they have this huge convention. Like, they're booked out like 10 years in advance. And the city of Milwaukee, now after hosting the Republican National Convention, was invited to come and make a pitch. So Visit Milwaukee was there. I went with them as well. And Milwaukee is now in that lineup for hosting ASAE, I think it's called. So they're coming here with their Association of Associations, and that will, I think, put us in a position where those other associations will then see Milwaukee as a place to come and have their events, drawing, you know, thousands and thousands of people who are here, who will fill our hotel rooms, who will eat at our restaurants, who will shop at our local establishments here, spending their dollars, stimulating our economy, and creating more opportunities for the people who live here in the city of Milwaukee. That's what these things are all about for me. And you know, I've said my desire with hosting the RNC was to put Milwaukee on an even larger map, which I think we accomplished, because I get people from all over the country. In fact, I was in Washington this last week, and I had mayors literally from coast to coast who talked to me about how impressive Milwaukee looked. And that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted Milwaukee to be in, you know, every C-suite and living room across the country, raising the city's profile and putting us in position to attract other large-scale political, business, sports, entertainment events to come to the city of Milwaukee in the future. And I think that's exactly what we put ourselves in line for.
Yeah. So you gave an example of that Association of Associations, but is there anything that you can speak to on that's on the docket for this year? Is it kind of just too early to tell?
I ask you to check with Visit Milwaukee on that. I don't have that top of mind presently.
Very fair. So I have one more topic and a couple more questions. I want to move to crime in Milwaukee. Now, I was surprised this did not come up in Norquist's interview in 1999 at all. Didn't mention it at all. But I do want to bring it up because the Milwaukee Police Department reported that crime was down almost entirely across the board in 2024, save for carjacking, motor vehicle theft, and robbery. And those last two, if I remember correctly, were up 2% and 1% respectively. So honestly, I think overall, good news there. Looking to criminal justice in 2025, what is working and what is not?
So for us, since I became mayor, we have focused in on public safety using basically a two-pillar strategy. One on accountability for people who cause death, harm, or destruction in the city of Milwaukee. I think that those individuals should absolutely 100% be held accountable for the crimes that they commit, because if you don't, then I believe that they feel like they have free rein to then go out into neighborhoods and harm more people and destabilize more places. And that's not fair to our constituents, our citizens, our residents who are out there just trying to live their lives, you know, day to day. And the other pillar there is prevention. And that's working to make sure that individuals in our community, particularly our kids, right, have opportunities to keep themselves safe, have mentorship, have opportunities to put, you know, a dollar in their pocket and learn the way to do that within an honest day's work. Honest day's work for an honest day's wage. So accountability and prevention, I think, have been really, really important in our efforts on public safety over the course of the last 2 years. Now, there are other things that are tied to lowering crime as well. But those are the top two areas where I think we've been able to make a significant impact, driving crime down. When I became mayor, I also made it a practice to bring the chief of police and our Office of Community Wellness and Safety out every single quarter to talk to the community directly about where we stand with public safety in Milwaukee. I think it's important to do. And I think it's important to constantly remind the public, and this is one of the other things that we did in terms of prevention, to remind the public that everybody's got a role to play in public safety. It's not just me. It's not just the police department. Everybody has a role. So, you know, if you're somebody's got a young man in your home or in your family who, you know, may have the propensity to do something that he would, you know, end up regretting, talk him out of it. If you're somebody who's got a young person you don't want, you know, getting mixed up in the wrong crowd, well, steer them towards this program here. If you're somebody who sees something that's going on in your neighborhood that is not quite right, call the police. If you're not comfortable calling the police directly, call their anonymous, their, you know, a number you can call anonymously. If you don't want to talk to the police at all, then call our, you know, Crime Stoppers, you know, tip line, and make sure that you're involved in working to make sure that there's safety. Of course, housing and jobs and education, all of those play a role as well into making sure you have a safer city. The last thing I'll say on this is that, because I think you pointed this out very well, is that in terms of crime, when we did the 2024 wrap-up earlier this month, myself and the chief, there were, I think, 13 crime categories that were listed. And in 10 of those crime categories in the city of Milwaukee over the course of 2024, crime was down, and only modest increases in the areas that you pointed out.
Yeah. So I want to end on a bit of a philosophical question. And so no right or wrong answer, genuinely. Not looking for one there. I just want to know how you think about this. And you mentioned, you know, young man, propensity to do something on people to, you know, people in his life to talk about it or talk to him about it. But why do you think people commit crimes in Milwaukee?
You know, when I was a member of the Common Council and years ago, and this is one of the things that just really sticks out to me from early in my career serving as an elected official, I was having a conversation about, you know, crime and violence and, you know, what comes first? Is the chicken or the egg? Is it crime that then breeds poverty because you get disinvestment, folks are scared to, you know, work there, go there, things like that? Or is it poverty that then breeds the crime? I think that it's the poverty. I think it's the poverty that then leads to crime. If you look at Milwaukee in the past, and when this city had, you know, a humming manufacturing sector, and, you know, the barrier to people getting a good paying family supporting job at the time was whether or not you had a strong backup or an alarm clock, and folks could go to one place and, you know, maybe quit for whatever reason, and then later that same day be lined up with another good paying family supporting job, and they were able to use those resources to buy their homes, to create stability in not just their life, but the lives of the people who they care about. And you had a critical mass of that happening in neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods at the time, they weren't porous. The people who lived there weren't transient. And when you build that sort of neighborhood cohesion, that's how you get to the public safety that all of us want to see. But the genesis of that, though, outside of a good quality education, especially these days, is the opportunity to have a good-paying, family-supporting job to so you're not in poverty. So it's poverty, I think, that leads to the violence generally speaking, together that we see.
Well, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, thank you so much for your time and for joining me on Lake Effect.
Thank you, Sam. Nice to see you.
That was Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson speaking with Lake Effect Sam Woods. This interview was part of our 60th birthday celebration. To learn more, go to WUWM.com. We also spoke to Mayor Johnson about Milwaukee's role in immigration enforcement, which you can also find at WUWM.com.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.